Turn, please, to the book of Matthew, the 13th chapter, in your Scofield Bible, page 1014. We'll be reading verses 11 through 17. And we'll, as we usually do, we'll read these verses responsively. Matthew 13, verses 11 through 17. May we stand together, please, for the reading of this passage. He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they, seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not. Neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Esaias, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, their eyes are dull of hearing, their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. And together also in the 17th verse, For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Let's pray. Bless, we pray now, O Lord, this service to our help. Thank you for your word, and we're sure grateful that we know it to be the truth. And being the truth, we ought tonight to hang on to every word that you give to our preacher for us tonight. We ask that thou wouldst bless. In Jesus' name, amen.
Brother Price said a while ago that this is a home, and it is. I was thinking, while both groups sang tonight, this so happens that both of these groups were composed of our homegrown young'uns. These young ladies that sang a while ago, married now, and most of them have their own children, and most of them I've pastored from infancy. I mean, they were born while I was pastoring here. I guess maybe all of them, not all but one, two, and most all the people you've heard sing tonight have never had a pastor but me. It sort of makes it worthwhile when you see them grow up. I think we say too much about those that break our hearts and not enough about those that warm our hearts. And I've been blessed tonight, young people, to see you, see and hear you. And remember when you were born, remember when you were in nursery, beginner, primaries, juniors, junior high, expelled, high school. And so I've been blessed not only by the music of the Prices today, but the music of our own people. And I appreciate it. I want to talk tonight on the subject, Two Sets of Eyes. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you would speak to our hearts now together as we think on this truth. Give us an eternal truth tonight that'll mean eternal life to many, eternal blessings to others, eternal inheritance for us, eternal praise to thy Son and to thyself. Holy Spirit, if there were some place I could go tonight and see you and know that that's exactly where you were located, if there's some altar somewhere I could go and stretch out on it before I preach, I would. But I thank you that you've made every place an altar, and that even here behind this piece of wood, I can yield myself to you just as much as if I went to a sacred temple or tabernacle or the Holy of Holies of old. Now speak to our hearts in these moments, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Romans chapter 7 tells us that we have two natures. The Apostle Paul said, I find myself not doing that which I want to do, and doing that which I don't want to do. He said, that which I do, I do not. That which I would not do, that I do. He said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And in the 7th of Romans, you'll find that warfare mentioned between the two natures. That means, if there are two natures, that means there are two sets of hands. There is a set of hands that belong to the old nature and want to please the old nature. And there's a set of hands that belong to the new nature and want to please our Heavenly Father. That means that there are two sets of feet. That means that there's a set of feet that would want to go away from the will of God and would lead us from the path of His perfect will. And then there is a set of feet that would lead us to the will of God to do His perfect will. If there are two natures, or two of us, the old man and the new man, that means that there are two hearts. The Bible talks about a new heart. And I will give thee a new heart. That means that there are two minds. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, the mind that's in this cranium right here, right now, was not in Christ Jesus, so I have two minds. I have the mind, this mind, that bent some time to thinking that which should not think, and bent some time to covetousness and jealousy, and I'm sad to say, and sorry to say, maybe even unkind thoughts. But there's another mind, and that's the mind which is in Christ Jesus. And the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That means if there are two natures, that means there are two sets of ears. Remember it says in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, several times, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Does that mean that he that hath physical ears? No, these physical ears are one set of ears, but there is another set. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit. There's an ear that hears you, and there's an ear that hears the Spirit. There's an ear that wants to hear gossip. There's an ear that wants to hear good news and praise. There's an ear that wants to hear bad. There's an ear that wants to hear good. Likewise, if there are two natures and two sets of hands and feet and two hearts and two minds and two sets of ears, likewise, there would be two sets of eyes. Now listen carefully as I lay the foundation for this and explain it to you. I think it's 2 Kings chapter 6. Don't hold me to that because I didn't look it up. But I think it's 2 Kings chapter 6. There was a warfare going on. And God was revealing to Elisha the plans of the enemy. Every time the enemy would come to attack at a certain place, God told Elisha, he said, the enemy is going to come over here, and the people of God were there to meet them. And so the enemy would attack them over here, say, and God would say, Elisha, they're going to come over here this time. And so Elisha would have the army of the Lord, over armies of the Lord over here on this side, thwarting the efforts of the enemy soldiers. Well, the head of the enemy army found out about that and said, I know what it is. It's that guy Elisha. So he said, we're going to go down and take care of Elisha. Well, Elisha was down in Dothan, Alabama. He was talking to Bear Bryant at the time, and he was down in Dothan, and he had his servant there with him. And so one day, the enemy sent armies and surrounded the entire city of Dothan, and Elisha and his servant were there. His servant came back and said, Master, said the whole city is surrounded by enemy soldiers. They're come to get you. They found out what's been going on. You've been telling, God's been telling you, and you've been telling the generals where the next attack's going to be, and they're here to kill you. They've surrounded the whole city.
That always is real funny to me. A whole army coming down to attack one Baptist preacher. That's a pretty even match, you know. And so, here he is. And Elisha keeps on drinking his, eating his grapes and drinking his carrot juice. And his servant says, Master, Master, aren't you worried? And Elisha has no worry at all. Well, Master, the whole city is surrounded by the enemy. And Elisha just keeps on going about his business. He keeps reading the sword of the Lord. And I'm sorry, my book blew down in lace. And so he keeps reading it. And then the servant says, well, look, I told you, they surrounded the city. They're after us. And Elisha looks up and he says, Lord, said, open his eyes. And the servant's eyes are open. And looks up and he sees the armies of the Lord, horses and chariots, and the armies of the Lord. I'm so glad that God takes care of his own. I'm so glad that there are unseen powers, invisible to the human eye, that are in the heavens that watch out after God's people. And the servant looked up and his eyes were open, and he saw with his other eyes. He took the other set of eyes and put those in the sockets of his soul and looked up and he saw, his eyes were open. Saul of Tarsus in Acts 9:18, it says, when he got saved, that immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales. And he was looking at Christians with hatred. Now he looks at Christians with love. He was looking at Christians with a desire to kill them and persecute them. Now he looks at them with a desire to bless them. He was an enemy of the gospel. Now he's a friend of the gospel. And all of that, now he's a preacher of the gospel, a chosen vessel to the Gentiles. And yet he did look at them with hatred. No longer anymore. Why? Because he has eyes with which to see now. God has given that second set of eyes. The church of Laodicea. Revelation chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. It talks about this wicked church at Laodicea. It said, you're miserable and wretched and blind. The next verse it says, get some eye salve and put some eye salve on your eyes that you may see. What's he saying? He's saying there are two sets of eyes. He said you're blind to spiritual things. You're blind to the needs of men. You're blind to souls being lost. You're blind to the work of the gospel. He said, you're blind. He said, you're a bunch of men pleasers. You said, you're neither hot nor cold. He said, we should be hot or cold. He said, get you some eye salve. By the way, little cake of eye salve. And little cakes of them. And he said, get you some cake of eye salve and rub it on your eyes so you can see. See what? See dying people. See. See what? See lost souls. See what? See a perishing nation. See what? See people plunging toward a Christless grave. See what? People dying and going to hell if we don't get the gospel to them. See what? See the truths of the Word of God. See what? See spiritual things. And there were two sets of eyes, and God said, get some eye salve so you can see out of the other set. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him. Now, that's not talking about heaven. I think that it can be applied to heaven, but it's not talking about heaven. It's talking about things the spiritual eye can see and cannot see. The way he's saying, these eyes cannot see the truths of this word. These ears cannot hear the great music of this word. And the Bible cannot hear the will of God when God speak. And so he says, I have not seen, human eyes have not seen, ear hath not heard, human ears have not heard the things that God has prepared for those that love him. And that's why you got the ERA people that think they're doing right and giving woman what they call equal rights. They don't have any eyes with which to see or ears with which to hear the will of God. They can't understand this Bible because the natural man receiveth not the things of God. And that's why the humanist, he thinks he's doing right. They think they're doing God a service in fighting us, but they have no eyes to see with. They have no ears to hear with. They cannot see the things of God nor understand the things of God. Oh, thank God tonight I've got an extra set of eyes with which I can see. And then when Jesus was on the road to Emmaus in Luke 24:31, they were walking down the road to Emmaus. Sadly, after you preached as long as I preached, 40,000 sermons now over a period of 37 years. I've met a lot of wonderful friends. And most of my friends, I guess most of my close preacher friends are gone now. And I've been consumed with the thought that they're with Jesus now. They're walking with him just like the disciples did on the road to Emmaus. Oh, let me tell you something, folks. This thing is real we're talking about. This book is the Word of God, and this thing is real. And I've heard of a place that's called heaven, the home of the pure and the free, the haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. We used to sing it, how beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free, the haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. I say it's real. And now they're with him. And these disciples, the Emmaus disciples, walking down the road to Emmaus, and they start talking about the Bible, and Jesus started teaching the Bible to him. Won't it be a wonderful thing to have the Lord Jesus sit at the head of the table and teach us what the Bible really means? Won't it be good if Mr. Jorgensen really finds out he was wrong on John 3:5 and such things as that? And I'm saying, Jesus, they're taking the Bible. It's okay, it's time for Bible study. Won't it be good for the Apostle Paul to teach us Hebrews? And I guess he wrote Hebrews. If he didn't, I think Barnabas did, and he'll teach it to us. He didn't write Hebrews. I think Apollos did, and he'll teach it to us. He didn't write Hebrews. I think John Rice did, and he'll teach it to us. But anyway, so they're walking down the road to Emmaus, and Jesus was teaching to them, and they didn't know who he was. And they start talking about the crucifixion. They said, our Lord was crucified. And then down in verse number 31, it says, then their eyes were open, and they knew him, and they saw him, and knew he was the Lord Jesus. That's what the Mary Magdalene problem she had. Mary Magdalene was looking through the wrong set of eyes, and she said, take away my master. And she talked to Jesus and didn't even know him. That was the resurrection body of our Lord. And then Jesus said, Mary, Mary. And there was some way that he said that God caused her eye a second set of eyes to be opened, and she said, Rabboni, that is to say, Master. Her eyes were open. And then Paul wrote to Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18, 19, I think I'll just read it to you right quick like. It says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of his glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. What's he say? He's saying, I want you to have that extra set of eyes so you can see and be enlightened about the things of God and know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches. I want you to have those extra set of eyes so you can see what real riches are. I long for some of our people who live to make money to get an extra set of eyes and see what real riches are. I long for many of you that look through the eyes of greed and the eyes of carnality and the eyes of materialism. I long for you to get an extra set of eyes and find the real riches of life. And that's what he says here. Paul said, he said, I pray for you. Back in early verses, I pray for you. He said that you may know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward, who believe according to the working of his mighty power. And tonight I'd like for you to get that new set of eyes that lets you see the Word of God as it is. That set of eyes that'll show you this book is better than all the other books put together. The extra set of eyes that'll show you. You know, some of you folks tonight, you come to church and you say, boy, it sure is good to be here. You limp in here on Sunday morning after being beat up with the world and hearing profanity all week long, and you limp in here on Sunday morning. Somebody invent noses that didn't run. Looks like if folks can put a man on the moon, they can invent a nose that doesn't run. But anyway, you limp in here on Sunday morning, and you're with the family again. And not many of you tonight, you say, I dread church ending. There are people right now who wish I'd preach an hour and a half. There are people who wish I'd shut up right now also. But anyway, I say, some of you, what's the difference? Boy, when are we going to get out of here? And others say, I hope he doesn't quit now. I think he's coming to the finish of his sermon. Hope he doesn't quit now. I'm not going to quit now. You're getting your way. But what's the difference? Hey, what it is? Some of you have eyes to see the midnight show. Others have eyes to hear Jesus and see Jesus. Some have ears to hear the music on the late night show. Others have ears to hear the Word of God. And I long for our people to have this second set of eyes. The eyes like that with which the Emmaus disciples could look and recognize Jesus. And the eyes that God wanted the Laodicean church to have so they could know great things. And the eyes that Paul spoke about in Ephesians chapter 1 so we can see real riches and real glory. Let me tell you something. Listen, I had my dreams when I was a boy. I had a dream that I always loved sports. Always did. and I was going to be a professional sports announcer or a sports writer. I entered a contest, and this is old hat to many of you. Entered a contest, and I was 12 years old. Nationwide contest to see what boy, 14 or under, could write an essay, an imaginary interview with the captain of the Fordham football team. And he would, whoever won that would be the mascot on the Fordham, on the, in the Cotton Bowl game, sitting on the bench beside the Fordham team when they played Texas A&M in the Cotton Bowl game that year. And I was a little boy, I picked up a little piece of paper. And on the white place of advertisement, on a piece of paper, we couldn't afford paper to write on. I wrote an imaginary interview and put it in the mailbox. Nobody knew I did it. I got me a stamp, 3 cent stamp in those days, and put it on that little, little envelope and put that piece of paper, I mean newspaper, in the advertisement, you know, the blank place. And I put it in the mailbox. One night in the wee hours of the morning, got a call. A neighbor across the street came and said, Jackie Boy Hiles. Said, long-distance call from New York City. I like to drop dead. Long-distance call from New York City. I've never had a long-distance call from around the block. And we didn't have a telephone. I didn't know which end to talk in. And so I went across the street in the wee hours of the morning. It was Grantland Rice, the most famous sports announcer that's ever lived. He's the fellow who said it matters not how you, whether you win or lose, it's how you play the game. The most famous. He said, Jackie Boy Hiles. And I said, yeah. He said, you won the nationwide contest of thousands of entrants. And I sat on the bench at the Fordham team. You know, in that game, they tried to wine me and tried to dine me. They did dine me, but they tried to serve me eggnog that was spiked. I was just 12 years old. I met all the football players on the Cotton Bowl. I was on 169 stations, interviewed by radio stations, interviewed by Bill Stern, the famous sports announcer. And I got to talk to John Kimbrough and all the big sports writers around America. And I sat on the bench, and for about 2 weeks, I lived with the elite. And then the game was over. I led the parade downtown Dallas when the Fordham team came. I was in front. In front of the fire truck that led the parade, and the game was over. The team went back in the locker room. The coach went back in the locker room, and I was sitting there by myself. 775,507 people leaving. The 12-year-old boy. I didn't have enough car fare to get home with, and I had to go up and knock on a lady's door and say, "Lady, I don't have any car fare to get home, and I live many miles from home. I need to get a streetcar and get home." And lady gave me a streetcar token, let me borrow it, and I went home. And I thought as I rode home, weeping and crying, I thought, there ought to be something different. Boy, they ought not do that. But that's the way the world is. They'll take you and give you what they want to get a little advertisement out of you and squeeze the last bit of blood out of you and drop you. I wish you could see them. I wish young folks had eyes to see with tonight. I wish you had ears to hear with. I wish you knew the real story about the devil. I wish you had this second set of eyes and look at the devil through God's eyes for a change. And look at sin through God's eyes. And look at evil through God's eyes. And look at popularity through God's eyes. Let me tell you something tonight. I think I could be wealthy if I had gone other route. I wanted to be was offered a contract with the Brooklyn Dodgers farm team to go down and play on their farm team, work my way up the Brooklyn Dodgers, now the Los Angeles Dodgers baseball team, and I had dreams. I used to say when I saw my daddy hit my mother, I used to see my mother crumpled up in a corner of a room, and I'd say, when I get old enough, I'm going to see to it she ain't got a wound in this world. I'm going to see to it. I used to dream of making $1 million someday and giving my mother what she deserved, and I haven't made $1 million. I make about $12 million a year. I'm going to go through the ministries that I help to lead, but when I'm saying this, listen, there's not enough money in Fort Knox, Kentucky, and I'm not just preaching, I'm telling you the gospel truth. There's not enough money in Fort Knox, Kentucky, that could buy for me the blessing I had a while ago when these young ladies sang. Not enough. You know why? Because I got the right kind of eyes to look through. I wish you had a set of eyes. I wish you young people could look at the devil through the right set of eyes. And sin and temptation and weakness and lust and popularity and secular education. I wish you could look at it through the eyes that God gives you, this second set of eyes. Oh, listen, I say, Lord, open their eyes that they may see visions of light thou hast for me. open my eyes. Let me see. And then John 12:40. He hath blinded their eyes that they should not see with their eyes. What does that mean? It means that we have two sets of eyes. And sometimes the devil blinds our spiritual eyes. We can't see. And sometimes God opens our spiritual eyes. We can see. Let me tell you something, folks. God, you and I have seen this. We see it every week. Some young person, we call it their values change. That's not what it is. They're looking through different eyes. All of a sudden, listen, you can see it on their faces. You can see it in the you can see it in the halls of the college, and you folks can see it in the high school. You can see it on their faces. I mean, here's a fella who had eyes with which to see. And here's a young lady who had that blush on her face and that excited look on her face and the look of innocence. All of a sudden, she does things we never thought she'd do. She goes places we never thought she'd go. And all of a sudden, the school doesn't mean much, and studies don't mean much, and soul winning doesn't mean much, and the bus doesn't mean... What is it? She's exchanged those spiritual eyes that our Lord Jesus gives us for eyes that are fleshly, and she looks at things through another set of eyes. That's exactly what happens. Matthew 13:16 says, "Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and tonight... If you can see through spiritual eyes and see spiritual values and see spiritual truth, jump up and down and say, "Hallelujah." But by the way, watch it carefully. It's amazing how quickly you can see through those other eyes if you don't watch it. Now, we all have times that we look through the wrong set of eyes. I remember there was a time when all of a sudden, you know, my mama reared me alone. And I thought she's the smartest woman I ever saw. I believe that Costell Hiles is the greatest child psychologist I've ever seen in my life. I wish you could have known her when she was young. I mean, young, like 80, 75, 80 when she was young. I wish you could have. I wish you could have seen her take some little incorrigible, oh, there are those big words again you can't understand, but some incorrigible child. I wish you could have seen her take some child that was nobody else could handle. I wish you could see what she could do with a child. And I used to think that's the smartest woman I ever saw in my life. And then I got about 12 years old, and I put the wrong glasses on. My mother had young people listen to me now, because a lot of you are looking through the wrong glasses at your mama tonight. My mother couldn't afford false teeth. And my mother's teeth rotted, literally rotted in her mouth. I want to tell you, there's not a piece. It looked like a set of teeth, and I'm not kidding you, that were made out of coal. My mother's teeth were as black as any coal you ever saw in your life. I mean rotten! And I got the wrong glasses on. I didn't see those teeth like I saw them before. I didn't see those stooped shoulders like I saw them before. I didn't see that furrowed brow like I saw it before. I didn't see the wrinkled face like I saw it before. I didn't see the hands that often quivered like I saw them before. I had the wrong eyes. And all of a sudden, I became... See, I was born, my mother was almost 40. They say that people that are born toward that age in a woman's life are very, very brilliant people. And I am here as living proof of that fact. But... But I, you know, I'd go to school, Doc, and other boys had their mothers there, and I swear, their mothers would be 30, 30, 31, 32 years old, and my mother would be almost 50. And I'm ashamed to say it, but I was ashamed of her. I wish I could give you young folks spiritual eyes with us to look at your moms and dads tonight. The other day, the night, the Blue Berets asked me, I was preaching over here at Chesterton two nights, and I just drove over about a 40-minute drive. And so, how many Blue Berets are there, girls? 25? Mrs. Castile, how many are there? About 29. So, they said, Brother, could we go with you or drive you back? And I said, okay, I'll let you drive back. I'll drive back with you on Thursday night. And so, they all came in and sat back in the back. When I got to preach, they got up and said, "That's our preacher," and held up a big sign saying, "We love you, Brother Hiles." That's because I'm such a lovable person, of course. And we left with Hiles. And then after the service, they got a big bus, and I got in the bus, and they had a place, a little throne back there, halfway back in the bus for me, and had me some nice fruit. And I had said in my sermon, I told how that I don't worry about this bald spot on the back of my head. You heard me tell about it. Because I got hair everywhere. I got hair on my hands and hair on my ears and hair going out of my ears, hair going out of my nose. And I said, "Hey, got some hair on my chest. Let you see it for a quarter." By the time I got to the bus, it all pitched in a quarter. And and they wanted me to let them see the hair on my chest. I said, "Oh, no, girls, if you did, you'd never be satisfied with a man again in your life. You never would get married. Everything would be counterfeit and second class. I just can't do that." And we had a lot of fun, and so we got to acting like mothers. But for example, they said something about I don't know what a car of boys came by. The girls been giving me all their attention. When a car of boys came by, started honking, and one of those girls looked at those boys. "Look, don't look at a muddy pond, and you got an ocean right there where you are." And I said, "Yeah, there you are. How fickle you are." And I said, "Those boys didn't build that high school for you. They didn't walk out there with their old hands when it was a wilderness and walk through and pull back the brushes. They didn't walk out there and lay the concrete on the floor on the streets and put up the light poles like I did." And then that reminded them of their mother. I said, "Did you ever hear talk like that?" And then one after the other, they start talking like you mothers talk. And one of them said, "I'm nothing but a cab driver. That's all I am. Just a driver places. You don't appreciate me." And how many mothers have memorized that one well? But you know, we had more fun making fun of you mothers. Boy, it's good for me to get with them and criticize you. But anyway. But you know, the honest truth is, I wish those young ladies could see their mothers through God's eyes. I wish spiritual eyes could be those placed in the sockets of their spiritual heads so they can see Mama through those eyes. But I don't know about you, but when I got about 13, my mama lost her mind nearly. She got awful shape. All the brilliance she'd ever had was gone. You know, when I got about 21, 22, I got my set of eyes that I had before back. And my mama started getting intelligent again. And you know, now I look at my mother through those spiritual eyes and I see a marvelous, marvelous woman. I don't know about you, but I am. I got to the place where I saw my pastor one time through the wrong eyes. When I was a boy, "That's my preacher, greatest man in all the world. Well, I like him, yeah." You know what happened? The devil came to me and gave me a wrong set of eyes, and all of a sudden, I realized my preacher was human. I realized he wasn't perfect. I realized he had mistakes, and I got, that's the devil. Let me have those eyes. I looked at my godly pastor through the wrong eyes for a while. And I saw him as somebody that I had never seen him as before. Thanks be to God, when I got in college and got away from my pastor, I realized I got those eyes back again and got to look through the spiritual eyes I once had before. And tonight, though my preacher's in heaven, I revere his memory and thank God for him. And I'm glad that I have the spiritual eyes which to look. And by the way, I have the same thing as my church. But I want to say something to you. How I thank God tonight. How I thank God tonight. Now listen to me carefully. This is the message. How I thank God tonight that I made no spiritual decisions while I had the wrong glasses on. Oh, let me tell you something. Listen, if tonight you're looking at Mom and Dad through wrong eyes, don't make a decision. Don't do it. If you've got the wrong glasses on, if you've got the carnal eyes on, if you've got the selfish eyes on, if you've got the critical eyes on, don't decide anything. Don't make any decision till Jesus can open your eyes again and give you eyes with which to see and ears with which to hear. I see it here.
Oh, you college teachers, see it when you see it. Not college. I see some young person that sat out here and looked up with eyes open, and you'll let me say this. They came from places around the country to whom Dr. Hiles was sort of somebody, maybe. And here, it's old hat, and I like it better that way because that's what family's for. But there are places around the country where folks think I'm smart. 8232 Greenwood in Munster, Indiana is one of them. I live there. And, these young folks come, hey, Dr. Jack Hiles! And they sit out there, and they'll come to my office. That girl came to my office one day, I told you about years ago, and she came, and she had practiced it. She's a college girl. And she walked in with just right, holding a little hanky like that. I don't know what good it does, but it's more for show than blow, you know. And she held it just right like there. And she came in, and she bowed like that. I said, have a seat. And she had a seat. And she pulled her dress under just like that. And she sat just properly all the way through. And we talked, and everything was just right. She had practiced it and practiced it. So she got up to leave. Everything was just perfect. And then she backed up to leave. But there's a little end table right behind next to the sofa. And there was a lamp in those days on that end table. Well, she didn't go far enough around. She's backing up. And she didn't go around the table. She went around the sofa. And then she backed up. And the table hit her about the bend of the leg here. And she sat down on the table. Well, the table had just been waxed. And so she scooted across the table. And knocked the lamp up in the air. And then she scooted all the way across the table. And then she fell off. Back of the table. And her legs were sticking up like that in the air. And the lampshade fell off and fell sort of on her head about like that. And she looked up and began to cry. And she said, I didn't do very well, did I? But then I see that same young lady. And she sits up there in the back. She doesn't want to sit on the front. She wants to get way back in the back all of a sudden. She doesn't want to see the preacher anymore. Instead of trying to find a place to see him, not anymore. Why? She's got a new set of eyes the devil's given her. You know what? Some little pipsqueak boy has taken her affection away from her mother. And I want to tell you something. If your boyfriend doesn't make you love your mom and dad more, quit it! He's not worth going with. If your girlfriend doesn't make you love your mom and dad more, quit him! Quit her! She's not worth going with! Listen to me! I see you. You know, you don't realize the look you have on your face. It's so obvious you can see it. I can see church members that the devil has given another set of glasses or another set of eyes. They used to come here and they saw all these folks walk down the aisle and get saved and they tingled and their heart beat faster and they said they never thought there's a thing like this in the whole world. And then they found out the pastor was human and members are human and our folks have weaknesses too. And the devil gives another set of glasses. Before long, I can see that star look on their face, starry look on their face. That brother Christ, you've seen him. And you may as well go ahead and let them join another church right then. It's almost incurable. And they're looking through different eyes. They don't see the heaven rejoicing now. They don't see through spiritual eyes. They have no ears with which to hear and eyes with which to see. He said again. Don't make any decisions while you're looking through the wrong eyes. If you're looking at this church with a different attitude and different eyes that you were before, then don't make any decisions right now. If you're looking at Hiles Anderson College, Hammond Baptist High School, and you don't see it like you used to see it, don't make any decisions right now. I have 3 letters in my office now, fellas. Of people that used to work here on our staff or on the college or high school staff. Right now, we are begging me to bring them back. Begging me. Now we have no opening. Their jobs are taken. There's no place to put them. There's just no pay. But it's not the one you think it is. And nobody's going to write me a note tonight and say, okay, I don't know who I want on this. You better hire him back. No. We always have had good men, and we have good men now. And I'm not about to fire Brother Bullard just to get somebody back that play his place. I'll fire Brother Young, but not Brother Bullard. But I'm saying, what happened? those staff members, I remember when I hired them. Not necessarily staff at the church. One of our 507 employees around here. And boy, I talked to them, and they said, oh, you'd want me? Me? But then the grass on the other side of the fence became greener. And they got another set of eyes. And then, when you get the other set of eyes, you see things you see. Well, I mentioned last week that when I broke my glasses, these same lenses, but different frames. And I pulled out the other pair for the job in the office and got them. During the service, I gave them the keys to my office. Well, by the way, there's $10,000 that's missing, Brother John, last week when I went back to the office. But I put those glasses on. You know what I saw? I told you, I saw people up in the balcony. I didn't know even came here anymore. I mean, those glasses were stronger than the one I wear. I put them on. So I got these fixed and got these lenses back. I put them on. I saw things I never saw before. Now, the devil's given some of you eyes that cause you to see things you never saw before, too. And sometimes it happens to staff members. And before you know it, they look through the wrong eyes. But how can I know I've got the wrong eyes now? Have your opinions changed? Are you critical? The wrong eyes are always critical. Right eyes are never critical. No. Wrong eyes find fault. Right eyes don't find fault. I have three letters. Now, my office. I wonder how many young people have married the wrong person because they made life decisions while they're looking through the wrong glasses, wrong eyes. I wonder how many parents have ruined their children because they've been looking through the wrong eyes and they get critical. And I'm not trying to keep you criticizing me. I don't want you to criticize anybody. This little set around. In little huddles, criticizing each other. That's of the devil. You got wrong eyes. Well, you say it's true. A lot of true things you shouldn't be yakking about. I was in a certain church the other day, and a pastor said to me, I didn't agree with what you preached. And I won't go into the story. But going home in church, you want to talk about it. And I said, man, listen to me. Our names are written in heaven. We've got the Word of God in our hearts, in our hands. I said, Christ is our Savior, and our job is to win the soul. Let's don't sit here and talk about things with which we disagree. Let's talk about how good God is and how good it is to be saved. He said, it may be that I had the bad eyes on, and now I've got the good ones. No, I can tell you how you know. Are you critical? You got the bad ones. Are you hurt? Your feelings hurt? You got the bad ones. Angry? You got the bad ones. You see the black, brown, black side instead of white side? A bad side instead of good side? You got the bad one. And I'm not trying to scold anybody. I'm begging every single person in this room, when you've got that critical spirit, and you're looking at the glass half empty instead of the glass half filled, and you're watching the thorns instead of the roses, I plead with you, don't make any decisions during that time. You wait till you get those eyes back that made you have love, made you have cooperation, made you uncritical, and made you have patience and long-suffering and gentleness and kindness and goodness. Listen, every single redeemed soul in this room tonight has two sets of eyes. And in God's name, be careful. The ones you look through. Now, what should you do? I'll tell you a few things. And then close. First thing is this. I'm going to read you a scripture. You need not turn to it, but I want to read it to you. 1 John 2:11 says, but he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth because that darkness has blinded his eyes. What darkness? Hatred. Hatred.
He that hates his brother. That darkness, that hate darkness of hatred has blinded his eyes and he has other eyes with which to see.
If you want, now it's dangerous, folks. Look, I have two sets of eyes too. And I'm just as likely tomorrow, if I don't watch it, I'm likely to put the wrong set in as sure as I'm standing here. I've got to watch it. Why? Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am. Paul said, I am the chief of sinners. Paul said, I find two natures warring within me. Paul said, that which I would do, I don't. That which I would not, I do. Why? He had two sets of hands. Listen, young people. He had two sets of hands. He had two sets of feet. He had two sets of ears. He had two tongues. He had two sets of eyes. He had two hearts. He had two minds. And Paul said, I buffet my body. I give myself a black eye every day. Why? He said, because I want the good man, the new nature, the nature of God, Christ in me, the hope of glory. I want that to rule over the other nature. Never make a decision while you're hurt at somebody. I'll guarantee you, if you're hurt at somebody, you got the wrong eyes in. And no time to make a decision. Please. In God's name, we're coming to graduation time. We have them, young people, in our school. Listen, young people, if there's a teacher you don't like, don't decide what you're going to do until you get the right eyes in. You got a bitterness against somebody? Don't decide. Don't listen. Don't ever. Listen, if you make a decision when you're looking through the wrong eyes, you will have the wrong mind making that decision. There's a second thing, and I won't go to the Scripture because of time. And that is, the Scripture teaches that a cold heart causes us to be blinded and look through the wrong eyes. A cold heart. Please forgive this excessive personal reference. But I work harder on keeping my heart warm than I work on any of the 10 things I do. Look at me. The tears that come in these eyes are genuine. The love that is in the heart is genuine. But you know why it is? I think about it. I sit in my motel room sometimes at night and I think through this audience and I think of you. And I think of you that have burdens and heartaches, and I think of you men at work, you ladies busy engaged in the rearing of a family. And I sit in my motel room and I practice loving you. And that's why when I stand up to preach and I preach about your needs and controvert about your burdens, that's why tears can come. A warm heart is one of the best ways to keep the right eyes in socket. But if your heart's cold, say, how do I know if heart's cold? You read the Bible and don't weep some. Read the Bible and don't tap your hands. In hotel rooms across this country, I read this Bible and I find myself jumping up on the bed and clapping my hands and say, blessed be God. I came in the other night after a great service and I believe that God had used me again. And I got on my knees beside the bed and I said, dear God, thank you that once you made again, you made it worthwhile to travel. And I believe you used me tonight again. And I got to thinking about that little shack of a house we lived in and how good God's been to me. And I started clapping my hands and praising God. I'm saying, if the Bible, if heaven doesn't make your heart beat faster, and if the thought of Jesus doesn't make you more excited, and if the Bible doesn't thrill you more, don't make a decision. Don't do it. You got the wrong eyes in. Don't make a decision while the wrong eyes are in. The Bible says, because of the dullness of hearing and the heart that is gross means a fat heart, and dullness of hearing means heavy ears, means a heart that's hard to touch and hard to get to. Ears that are heavy, they don't love to hear the things of God. They don't love preaching. I'll tell you, one of the best ways to find out what kind of eyes you're wearing tonight is, do you love preaching? You love preaching. And I tell you, I preach across this country. Other night I was preaching Dr. Tom Malone. He preached before I did. And he got me all excited, man alive. I want to build a building or tear another one of these furniture stores down over here. And boy, you know what? Then at the time he got through, I forgot I was preaching. I forgot I was on the program. And man alive, I wanted to go charge hell and get busy for God. And I want to take another offering here and build some building. Why you folks don't like me to hear too much preaching. And then they said, Dr. Hiles is going to come. I thought, what for? Take the offering or what? All of a sudden it dawned on me, I was next on the program. Oh, I love preaching. I was preaching in Detroit, Michigan not long ago, in the Detroit area. And I got out. They let me use a car. And so I had to park about 3 blocks from the church. And some guy was preaching that you could hear 3 blocks away. That's what I call preaching, man. If you can't say nothing, at least you can holler it. And all his preaching up the storm. And so, not heaven. I heard him preaching. Did you ever go to a game and get there late? And you hear them cheering, and you think, some crazy guy's knocked a grand slam home run. I was not there. And you get back. And I was that way, heard this guy preaching. And man, I got to going faster and faster and faster. And I was huffing and puffing and running. Why? I was hearing preaching. Man, do you love preaching? Listen, if your ears are heavy and your heart is fat, well, you can't get the preaching, can't get to it. Old Dr. John Rice used to say, God pity a preacher can't moisten up. I've seen old Dr. Bob Jones Sr. sit out there while I was preaching over here at Belden Avenue Baptist Church in Chicago in 1957. I was preaching, old Dr. Bob Sr. sitting there. And old Dr. Bob, tears began to stream down his cheeks. And he got through it like this on his coat. And was it moistening up? I can see old Dr. John Rice. I preached a sermon of the night on this kind. I don't preach it much anymore. Is Dr. Rice's favorite sermon of mine. And I can see it now. Old Dr. Rice say, Amen! 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 Yeah, he moistens up. Don't make any decisions if you don't like preaching. I mean, if it's not something in your heart that burns! And that is thrilled and excited. Listen, what the fellow said a while ago, all of us ought to say, I want to get the preaching on. Let's get the preaching. Why? Because if you love the preaching and moisten up and your heart's not fat and your ears aren't heavy, pretty good sign you got the right eyes in. Now listen carefully, I'm going to close. Not sure when I'm going to close, but I'm going to close. Look at the present. The eyes that Jesus gives you cause you to look at the present. If you look into the past, you got the wrong eyes in. You look into the future, you got the wrong eyes in. Look at the present. Listen, folks, there's no way the present can compete with the past or the future if you're looking at all of them. No way. The first place is just remember the good things about the past. Memory forgets. Hear me preach, you think my mom was a saint. If I put the wrong glasses on, I could tell you how she's a little demon, too. She'd say, Hush, son! I'd say, Hush! You can't hush when you're doing that. No way in the world. But the present cannot compare to the past. And by the way, the present cannot compare to the future. Reality will always lose when it's compared to fantasy. That's why a lot of preachers always want to go change church. A lot of staff members always want to go somewhere else. Why? Because they're comparing the fantasy of the future with the reality of the present. And the fantasy of distance with reality of here. And there's no way when you put those glasses on and compare what you think can be done with what you are doing and what you think you used to do with what you are doing, you're gone. You're just gone. When the present becomes the past. Hear me now. Listen to this carefully. When the present becomes the past, you often want it again for the future. Hear me again. When the present becomes the past, you often want it again for the future. Allah, those three letters in my office tonight. It's a good idea. Look at the present and say how good God is to me. How good God is. Not how good God was. How good God's going to be. How good God is. Or, what you want me to do? I want you to go to Pharaoh and say, let my people go. Lord, shall I tell them I'm Moses? Yeah, who should I tell them? Send me. And God said, tell them that I am has sent you. God never has been a I was or an I will be. The I am. Let me tell you something. The most important service tonight in the world is not when I speak of the Southwide Baptist Fellowship for my 26th time next on Tuesday night, the last sermon, next up first Tuesday in October. That's not the most important service. Most important service is not the great pastor's school that's coming up again next March. That's not the most important service. The most important service in my life is going on right now. Right now. Now, I can tell you what eyes you have in if you'll answer this question. How about you? How about you? What are you looking at? Past, present, or future? Huh? You've got your mind focused on the past, you've got the wrong eyes in. You've got your mind focused on the future, you've got the wrong eyes in. Hear me carefully. I'm talking like this because it's graduation time. I'm talking like this because in just about 4 weeks we come to the end of another school year for our kids, our college kids, our high school kids. Graduation day is almost here. Don't. If you are not in love with Jesus, and if you are not happy about preaching, then you get the right eyes in before you make these life-changing decisions. Hear me carefully. Many a child will be out of the will of God for a lifetime if you look through the wrong eyes. I mentioned Wednesday night about a pastor that left the will of God because he looked through the wrong eyes. Went to a church he knew he shouldn't have gone, left a church he knew he shouldn't have left. Another church called a pastor, you never go back there. With tears, he said to me, Brother Hiles, I'll never be in the perfect will of God again. I got to looking at my people's weaknesses instead of their strengths. I know tonight everybody in this room is human. I know that. I know the 117 men we call deacons here. I know they're all human. They all have weaknesses. But I wouldn't trade them for any 117 men in the whole world. I wouldn't trade them for any deacon board. I mean that in the whole world. Sometimes they don't do what I wish they'd do. Sometimes I don't know what they wish I'd do, like quit before 9 o'clock. But they're my deacons. These men that you see before you on the platform tonight, they're not perfect. They're far from perfect. But they're my staff men. And I wouldn't trade them for any other men in the whole wide world. They're like my younger brothers. And in some cases, like my own sons. They're mine. You're not perfect either. But you're my people. Now listen carefully, I'm through. If you've got the wrong eyes in, change of location won't solve your problem. Won't do it. Discontentment's never caused by external matters if you got God's glasses on. I see you shaking your head, Duke. I'm not trying to embarrass you because I love you. He's shaking his head because he knows. He knows. Restlessness will never be cured by changing the temperature of the thermometer or by adding roses on the bushes or leaves on the trees earlier in the year. Restlessness is caused by having the wrong eyes in your socket. And the only way to change that is to let the Lord Jesus open your eyes. Open mine eyes that I might see visions of truth thou hast for me. I'm 56 years old. I got two sets of eyes. I've looked through both of them. I don't want to look through those old ones more. I want to see the good in you, not the bad. Strength and not the weakness. Today and not tomorrow. Here and not there.